This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ralph Reed, founder and president of Century Strategies. He's also chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. He's also perhaps best known as the executive director of the Christian Coalition in the late 80s and through much of the 90s in helping to build one of the nation's most effective grassroots organizations. He's now also the author of the forthcoming novel, The Confirmation, a political thriller about a Supreme Court nomination fight. And with that backdrop, we want to get his thoughts on the Kagan nomination hearings, which will take place this week. And Ralph, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've obviously been a veteran of many different political battles, and you've seen many Supreme Court battles up close. I guess we go back to the Bork hearings in 1987 for the kickoff of the modern confirmation hearings. When we talk about a nominee like Elena Kagan with a relatively thin paper trail, what's the best way to prep for a confirmation hearing like this? What do you expect from the Republicans?
Well, I think she's going to be subjected to some very tough questioning. Obviously, today, the first day of the hearings, is, I don't want to say largely show, but there's a lot of preening for the cameras, particularly on behalf of the senators on the committee. I know that will come as a surprise to some of your listeners. Kagan will try to have the kind of moment that John Roberts had when he was nominated in 2005, where he spoke, you may remember, without a note,
right.
Was extremely eloquent and lucid. But the politics of this confirmation are already pretty well locked in. Elena Kagan is a committed liberal. She has spent more time as a policy advisor and a political operative, either in campaigns or in the Clinton White House, than she has ever spent as an attorney, a practicing attorney anyway. She's got a very checkered and I would dare say unimpressive record as Solicitor General. Her first argument was in the Citizens United case, which she lost, frankly, in a thumping, and I don't think made a good argument before the court. She's arguably the least qualified in terms of her actual legal experience and the fact that she hasn't been a judge in a half century.
We're talking with Ralph Reed, author of the brand new book, The Confirmation. And Ralph, when it comes to how you approach a presidential nominee, obviously most of the time you're going to see a nominee who's pretty much ideologically in line with the president. So at what point do you decide that elections have consequences? And at what point this is a troubling nominee with respect to how they would interpret the Constitution? Where do you draw that line?
Well, that's a great question. And as the veteran of eight Supreme Court confirmations, this will be my ninth, which I write about in the book, The Confirmation, which, although it's fiction, trust me, just about everything in that book happened to one of the last eight nominees in one form or another. So it's all based on fact. I think that that's a very delicate line for Republicans. You know, we've argued in the past that it shouldn't be about ideology, that it should be about qualifications. But here again, you have a nominee that has never sat on the bench, has been Solicitor General for only a brief period of time, has an extremely unimpressive record as an attorney. She was dean of a law school, but there she was much more of an administrator. And about the only thing that distinguishes her in that position, at least in terms of the confirmation itself, is kicking military recruiters off of the Harvard Law School campus. So here's what I expect. I expect at a minimum for her to be subjected to very difficult questioning. I expect it to be a very polarized confirmation vote, and I don't think, pending the outcome of the hearings, that there could be a filibuster or an attempt at a filibuster.
In terms of the tough questions she might get, we've seen it get pretty artful in recent nominations where nominees can give a pretty eloquent answer without saying a whole lot. Should we expect a repeat of that?
I think so. I think Kagan will take the same position that every judicial nominee, frankly, since Bork has taken, which is, I'm not going to answer those questions beyond, A, my respect for stare decisis, which is to say, a respect for the previous rulings of the court. So when she gets asked about Citizens United, where she argued on one side and the court argued another way, she's going to say, you know, I was in a capacity as Solicitor General, but if I go to the court, I have to respect precedent. The second thing that they're going to say, she's going to say, and all nominees subsequent to Bork have said, because they don't want to get nailed down specifically the way he was, is, you know, I can't really comment on that particular case because it may come before me as a Supreme Court justice. Now, depending upon your perspective, that's either an artful dodge or a respect for the ethical requirements of a Supreme Court justice, and frankly, it's probably a little bit of both.
Ralph, in terms of the president's requirements for his justice, we heard a lot about the empathy clause with Sonia Sotomayor. One of the statements that stood out when he introduced Elena Kagan is that she would be someone who would stand up for the regular American against basically big companies, big corporations. What else did you hear from Obama in this nomination that suggests what type of justice she might be?
Well, I think he's clearly trying to shore up his liberal base. When Obama uses phrases like standing up for the regular guy against the powerful and empathy, those are really just code words for a committed ideologically liberal agenda. I think what's really unfortunate, and this is what I talk about in my forthcoming book, The Confirmation, is how every nomination since Bork's, especially for conservative jurists, has become not advise and consent, but search and destroy. And I think, frankly, conservatives and Republicans are getting a little bit tired of the double standard. We sort of play by the rules and say, look, the president has a right to pick people who share his philosophy. I may disagree, but I'm going to ask tough questions, but in the end, unless I find something disqualifying, they're likely to get my vote. So you saw overwhelming confirmation votes for people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer. But now, after at this point, decades of every conservative jurist, from Alito to Roberts to Thomas to Bork, being subjected to the politics of personal destruction, I think what the liberals have sowed, they're about to reap, and I think it's now going to get a lot tougher on both sides. I think that's unfortunate, but unless the liberals are going to start treating our nominees with respect, that's probably the way things are going to play out.
Last 30 seconds here, Ralph. Your book is released September 1st, coming up here in just a couple months. Give our listeners a real quick preview.
Well, it's about the mother of all Supreme Court battles, and it's based on my experiences, most particularly in the Clarence Thomas nomination when I was at the Christian Coalition, but also subsequently. And it's about what would be the fifth justice to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade and sustain marriage and rule on some other very big cases. So if you want to know what really happens behind the curtain and behind the scenes, behind closed doors in a Supreme Court confirmation, I hope you'll get my book when it comes out in September.
Very good. Ralph, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Ralph Reed is the founder and president of Century Strategies, chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, former executive director of the Christian Coalition. His new book, The Confirmation, will be released in September. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.